Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to part two of episode 48 of Why Are People Into That? The podcast that's searching to destroy. This month's guest is hardcore gangbang director Maitress Madeline Marlowe and her porn star boyfriend, Will Havoc. In part two, Madeline and Will describe the provocative and tender truth about shooting gangbang porn. On June 16th, I'll be returning to the Lesbian Sex Mafia at the New York LGBTQ Center for a live Why Are People Into That? Follow at Tina Horn's Ass on Twitter and Instagram and visit whyarepeopleintothat.com. If you like Why Are People Into That, please consider pledging my Patreon because freedom ain't free. That's patreon.com/TINAHORN. Subscribe to this podcast on Acast and iTunes. Please take a few seconds to write a review and tell your friends about the show. I haven't ever really read any of the reviews on the podcast before, but I thought maybe this sweet one might motivate you to write your own. This is from Podcast Lover 5583. It was posted January of this year, 2017. The title is Wildly Entertaining, Educational to Boot. They give the show 5 stars and they say, "This podcast has had a very big impact on the last 6 to 8 months of my life since my wife and I started listening. We've learned a lot and had our minds blown more than once. We've been married over a decade and together for nearly 15 years, since the beginning of college. We're certainly not and have never been vanilla, and we are incredibly communicative as a couple, but the topics you cover have started discussions that I'm sure never would have happened because we didn't know such things existed." Thanks so much for that review, and I thank you all my listeners if you want to take the time to leave us a review. It really helps other people find the show, and it helps me out. So thanks. Now, get your adrenaline pumping, and make sure your shoes have plenty of traction as you tune in to part two of Why Are People Into Gangbangs?
It's, and I've been on a couple of sets in LA, and it's definitely different. It's a little bit more of a kind of macho-y vibe, which is funny too, because I think a lot of people have this notion that gangbangs are this very macho thing. And it is to a certain extent, but the thing that people don't realize about it also is that, and secretly, I think it's why, and maybe not so secretly in some cases, is why some people are into it. There's actually a lot of like homoerotic things going on there.
Well,
yeah.
What could possibly be erotic about a bunch of guys sticking their dicks at each other?
Right. One of our friends who did a gangbang a while back, she joked, she's like, "Oh, like when she, like during the blowbang, when she's got all the dicks in her hands and mouth, and She's like, I like to rub them together just a little extra in my mouth. And people don't realize that it's very like, it, yeah, sure. It's like you're doing this very macho thing. Like, yeah, suck my dick, like that kind of stuff. And that's fun and cool and everything. But it's also like, I mean, you are rubbing dicks with other dudes. And there are a lot of male performers in the industry who don't do gangbangs for a variety of reasons. I think that's one of them.
That's definitely one of them. And it's also like, it really takes a certain special kind of guy who can manage doing it. I think a lot of, and this goes to like the members, because sometimes they'd be like, why do you always have the same dudes? You know, I have kind of a pool of men that I pull from. And oh, if I could do that, I could do that. But it's like porn athletes. Yeah. It is a hard to get the bodies in the right spots and the dicks and the vaginas in the right spots, and it's incredible and difficult and such a hard working day.
And I'm here to tell you that I thought that even. I was like, oh, I could do that. And there was a learning curve for me, for
you,
sure.
You bombed.
I bombed my first time out.
Aww.
Yeah, it was tough. And it took me another probably one or two shoots after that, gangbang shoots, to sort of wrap my brain and my cock around the energy of it, the feeling of it, you know. Because you gotta manage your own boner. You gotta, be cognizant of the fact that there are four other boners around you, and then also like, oh, is the girl's hips banked the right way for the camera, and am I opening my hips the right way for the camera? It's work, man. Like mentally, physically, it's work.
Yeah,
but it's fun at the end of the day. It's still fun.
It's very. It's always a whirlwind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After every single one, I'm always like.
Yeah.
We did it, y'all. Yeah. We did it. I mean, literally. I mean, the crew gets adrenaline. You know what I mean? It is just, and it's a dance. Like, once we're all together, I don't know how you felt, Tina, when you were watching it, but literally, we have gotten this dance down. The performers are, you know, all of us, and we're in this, we're doing this together. We feel like we're, you know, we're doing it. We're going in together, guys, you know?
Yeah, there's also, and you guys, or you in particular, aren't party to this, because usually what happens is there's the dialogue and the setup and everything that's shot before the sex, and sometimes it's just the girl, sometimes it's the girl and maybe one of the guys, but like, and yesterday was a particularly long dialogue setup and everything, and so on the set that we were shooting the actual sex, it's like there's four of the five guys and we're all sitting around, and it's this funny almost like kind of zen thing where people got their headphones on or and you kind of will make chit-chat, like idle chit-chat with people, with the other guys, but you kind of know not to get into super heavy conversation because like you got to get in your space, and it's this kind of funny energy that everyone gets, you know, you got to get into character and kind of get in your space, and it's kind of a cool moment.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like the members of the website, yeah, you know, why they're into this, it's hard to say, you know, I can only go by like the comments that I get or, you know, in my social media. Sometimes these people will talk to me and say, oh, I want to see that. I want to see this girl. But I mean, most of the members, when they do make comments, are very interested in seeing the woman destroyed in the end, you know, pretty makeup and hair and everything, and then the end, just a wreck, you know, covered in cum like a toaster strudel and hair, you know, a mess, and all the eye makeup running down and clothes just ripped off from her, and then the adrenaline pumping, and they love that, you know. And actually I do too. I love seeing this woman go from this pedestal, yeah, and then being pristine. Yeah, pristine, and then at the end she's just destroyed, and you know, I can take back, like, the words like whore and slut and dirty bitch, and they seem so powerful. And that's what, you know, I look at her in that moment and that's what I see. And then she has a huge smile on her face. Yeah. Because she went through this experience. And it's thick in the air, the energy and the vibe, you know?
I think that part of what you're describing is just the of the appeal of seeing the woman go from pristine to like totally like disheveled.
Yes.
Is just like this like illustration or proof of passion. You know, I think that maybe what a lot of people feel that they're missing from their sex lives is the ability to completely let go, and to be able to see someone ravaged extremely is really cathartic. And you don't want to have sex to that degree every time you have sex, probably. Like sometimes you just want to like jerk off together, you know, but like that's why it's a fantasy. And also like every so often it's like really nice to just like go in really deep, and that's something that porn can facilitate, and an image that it can create, and then for people to be able to enjoy that or like live vicariously through it, or like see it illustrated in a way that is positive and possible. That's sort of part of, I mean, yeah, that's what I hear when I hear you say that, like, that's like what they're looking for, is that like sort of the toaster strudel. I mean, we all have to like keep it together all the time. It's right. Like really nice to see somebody just like lose it,
and they'll take that with them forever, and you know, it's just so cool.
So another thing that I really like about jerking off to gangbangs is the overstimulation, and like then I sort of, I mean, I'm the kind to, my like identification with like what I'm voyeuring into will like jump all over the place. I'll be like, no, I'm the guy. No, I'm the girl. No, I'm that guy. No, I'm all of them at the same time. Like,
interesting.
But like in turn, but I tend to like when I'm really like getting turned on and like really like, rubbing one out, like it's all about, like identifying with the girl and just like, yeah, just like the extreme illustration of being wanted and being like totally desirable and being, and like in also like in my fantasy or like in my like identification, like being like desired, like in my femininity. Right. Yeah. Because there's something like, in your shoots in particular, like the woman is, I don't know. She's like showing this like powerful thing that a woman can do in like taking all of those cocks. And like, I don't see that as degrading. I mean, like in a literal sense, I don't see it as degrading. I see that playing with the degradation of it is fun, but like, I see it as like fucking incredible. And like, also like, I don't, you know, and I also am like, could I do it? I mean, I probably could.
Yeah. No, it's,
but I never have.
Yeah. I'm actually interested. The only time I've been gangbanged was with a group of TS women, which was a dream come true for me.
It's fucking amazing.
It is a dream come true for me.
Jerk off to that shoot often.
That is his favorite movie ever. That's like his spank bank that he goes to when I'm not around. But what's so funny with all these beautiful TS women, they're all my friends, you know what I mean? And I like to go really hard, you know?
Yeah.
And they just were so sweet. And I was just, I kept, you know, hit me more, slap me more. I want, you know, put, I want two dicks in my vagina. You know what I mean? Like, and they were, it's a different energy in that sort of gangbang as opposed to like what we shot yesterday with Amber Ivy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like to experience it, that as well. And I often say, my God, could I do that? You know what I mean? But I'm like, of course I could do that. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And also, I love to, and I think I said this to you yesterday, is that we have a really great, great group of men who we choose to be in these gangbangs. And they're such tender, smart, just baby dolls. You know what I mean?
Pussycats.
They are. They're pussycats. Yeah. You know, and they do their job and they do it well, but they really are all, I hire these men who have so much respect for women.
Totally.
And just, I even think they're in awe of her, that she's able to do that with her body, and that they're able to experience that or facilitate that for her, you know?
Yeah. You know, like I said earlier, my first gangbang was, I did poorly and it was not the best. But one of the things that you helped me learn how to do that and how to perform that way. And also that group of, I don't know, I would say regularly, you hire, I don't know, 8 to 12 dudes on a regular basis. And those guys, really taught me how to do that. Like guys like Tommy Pistol and Mickey Maud and Owen Gray, those guys, I learned so much from them as performers, and they're just, I mean, it's like almost makes me emotional to think about.
Yeah.
You know, like they're just good dudes and they're good performers, and they taught me how to do that. You know, like, you know, whenever, like when I was trying to figure that out and wrap my brain around, I'd be like, oh, you know, how do I, and you'd be like, go watch Tommy's scenes, go watch Mickey's scene, you know? And I did. And I was like, okay. And then when I was on set with them, I'd kind of sort of keep an eye on that, and I'd be like, oh, like, and it taught me so much just about how to bring that high energy to the scene, but still
manage your cock
and also, you know, be, you know, take care of the girl.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot from those guys.
And I don't know if this is a segue into something else. I'm not sure. I'm just going to say it. Yeah. I think this is a good opportunity to talk about the crossover in the industry and how, when I took over this website, you know, it was, you know, mostly LA, performers, straight performers. And in the industry, it's like, which is an antiquated belief, but like, I can't shoot with crossover.
Well,
we need to put some context
to that. So it's very, for many, many years, it was very sort of bifurcated. You had the straight, air quotes, performers, and you had the gay, air quotes, performers. And historically, if you were one or the other, you couldn't do both. And if you tried to do both, you were a quote unquote crossover performer, right?
You are considered a crossover.
I don't shoot, you know, gay scenes, but I do shoot with trans women. I've never shot a scene with a trans man, but I would. I've never been asked to do that, but I would. I've never shot a scene with another cis man. But even still, I'm considered crossover because I don't shoot explicitly quote unquote straight. And I also shoot femdom, which is also considered
crossover in a very strange way.
Because you get fucked in the ass.
Right. And it's funny because, you know, I'm not going to, you know, call anybody out, but I do personally know straight male performers who will get fucked in the ass with a strap on or by a trans woman off camera, but they won't do it on camera. So it's this weird, like, kind of fucked up, antiquated thing, because we all get tested through the pass system. Mm-hmm. All of our tests are the same.
Yeah.
And it's this weird, antiquated bullshit thing that's kind of, from my point of view, I feel like it's a leftover thing from the 80s and 90s when there was a lot of misinformation about HIV and STIs in general. Yeah. And it was sort
good
of
thing we fixed that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we've come a long way. And I feel like specifically among agents in LA, there's still this attitude that's been grandfathered in of like, oh, if this person shoots that kind of content, you know, gay content, TS content, that automatically makes them more risky to shoot with. So therefore, my girls, and it's this patriarchal thing of like, these are my girls, you know what I mean? Won't shoot with these people.
Gotta protect them.
Right, we gotta protect them. And also by association, a lot of the, you know, straight, you know, quote unquote vanilla male performers won't shoot with me because I shoot, you know, that's become less so in the last couple years.
It's
breaking down a little bit. And
because I've started to, it was like
largely because of what you're doing on gangbangs.
When I took over the website, one thing that I really wanted to start to change is that attitude right there. I want to have queer performers, crossover performers, gay performers, if they want to, you know, I've been really happy that I've been able to like flip that dial a little bit and have conversations with people and explain to them why I believe that's wrong.
Yeah.
And really, like, I feel like I've really penetrated that. You
pun
know,
intended, no,
yeah. And it was hard at first.
Yeah,
you
and,
know.
And I want to say also, like, hats off to that handful of guys who were down to shoot with me and other,
yeah.
you know, other guys like Lance Hart.
Yeah.
And you know,
D'Arclight
and Sebastian Keys and,
yeah.
and those guys who are
Wolf Hudson
also. Yes,
yeah,
yep,
for sure.
Yep.
And you know, I hats off to the guys who do shoot the LA stuff and then they will come shoot gangbangs with me and Wolf and all those other guys and because they sort of they're helping sort of progress that culture of like, yeah, this isn't, you know, 1989 and like nobody knows anything about HIV and hey, we all get the same test and we all, you know, just because you shoot, you're a crossover performer doesn't automatically make you more risky. Like
yeah.
that's an old bullshit thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally,
you know?
Not based in empirical.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's Pride Month at the Pleasure Chest. Listen to my conversation with Ryan DiMartino about all of the queer sex toys, gender-affirming gear, and LGBT-themed porn you can find when you shop at the Pleasure Chest. Pride has always been a time of celebration and affirmation for our community. This celebration was birthed from resistance. And now it is time for us to carry on the great tradition of protest and public action. We must take up the mantle once more and come together to both boldly resist those who seek to turn back the clock and to continue the fight for the rights that many in our community have not yet attained. The time is now to resist. Join the email list at pleasurechest.com to get info on every free Pride-themed workshop in June at Pleasure Chest stores in New York City, Los Angeles, and Chicago. We'll see you in the streets. Going back a little bit to Will, you were talking about how you learned to gangbang, and how you how there's a certain kind of male camaraderie that somewhat counterintuitively was like not like macho, but sort of like maybe like a little homo, little homosocial, let's say.
Okay.
In observing you guys at work, I mean, first of all, yes, like it was definitely a well-oiled machine, so to speak, between the female crew and the female director and the five male performers and the female model. And the female model was kind of the Amber was the one who was kind of like the novelty, right? Like she's like not like worked in this environment with you guys all before. But because of that, it felt like it was a party for her. Mm-hmm. And also a payday for her, which is it's great when you can have a party and a payday at the same time.
Yes.
And we haven't even mentioned the fact that she requested a Twin Peaks theme.
Right.
And
oh
you
my God.
And it also it was Twin Peaks Day, like the day that in the show that Agent Cooper shows up in Twin Peaks, which was a complete coincidence and really just felt like fucking destiny.
Yeah.
But the fact that she was like, I want to be Audrey Horne, and she like sewed her own costume, and you like got all of the guys like in these like pitch perfect like kind of Halloween costumes that you like put together from your wardrobe that you have, or you like went and picked up things because you needed some like the perfect sunglasses for Dr. Jacoby or whatever. Yeah. And like and the set was so like David Lynch and surreal. Who dressed the set?
Well, I work with, I've been working with two set dressers for, oh gosh, many years. And I have a style. It's not just the Twin Peaks, but they understand me. And when I say, give me the Madeline special, or give me the Madeline a la David Lynch special, they know exactly what to do.
Oh my God, that's so great.
Yeah.
So the set was really surreal, and there was like strobe lighting and everything, and it was here at the Armory. You wrote the script, and the script was so like campy and melodramatic and perfect.
Yeah.
And you really like worked on getting it right for a really long time. And then when it came time for the sex, like the men, well, first of all, I remember that you said you kept saying to Amber, like, just let go. Mm-hmm. This is for you. They'll take care of you. They know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really professional and really able to do that and like ride the ride basically. And like seeing, I mean, you guys have said choreography, you've talked about it like a dance, like it felt like the five guys, first of all, had total respect for one another. There was no like pettiness or like mm-hmm. weird power dynamic, that it like everything seemed to flow really nicely, and it seemed like there was like a collection of moves that you guys knew how to do together to literally support her, like mm-hmm. to like hold her up so that she could like in a dance or like in I don't know like partner yoga, you know what I mean, like
yeah.
like just like let her body go and then have like hands like, you know, to a certain degree this is like for what the camera needs to see,
right.
Which would be different if it was a non-commercial gangbang, but also to a certain degree, like access, and also for her to be like ergonomically comfortable and like back and open and just, and like able to accept and experience like all the dicks and all the stimulation and all the attention and, like, you know, the hands all over her. I mean, all the dicks in her is very nice.
Yeah.
But also, like, the hands all over her. I mean, that, yeah, even that feeling,
yeah,
of, is, like, very, like, I found myself with, like, an erotic yearning for that also. Just, yeah, like, being, like groped and manhandled and, like, supported confidently,
yeah,
by, you know, by, and then, you know, it's like the classic trust exercise, right?
Sure.
Like, you fall because you know somebody is going to catch you, and you were, like, able, you know, even, like, supporting her neck. I don't know. You guys just, like, really
got it down.
You got it down. And it was beautiful. And it was beautiful to watch and hot to watch.
Yeah. And I mean, one thing that's really important to me that I think, you know, why the people watching and, you know, talking about hands and everything is, I'm always reminding them, I need your bodies in the shot. I need your hands all over her. You know, you always have to be doing something, you know, and I think that it's visually stunning. And I think that it is, that's, you know, that overwhelming feeling of hands going all, and you're letting go. Like, oh my God, it gives me chills.
Yeah. There's a lot that goes into that, and you definitely, like, foster that vibe on set and when the cameras are off, and that, and, like, you know, that goes back to the, sometimes people are like, why do you always hire the same guys? It's because there aren't a lot of guys who can do all those things. And we kind of, you know, one of the first positions we got into yesterday, where I, you know, I lifted her leg up and I was fucking her, and, you know, and we were like, and it's, there's this lighthearted kind of jokey vibe on set.
Yeah.
That's largely, like, you know, Tommy and Mickey and previously, like, well, like, those guys have this sort of very comical thing going on.
They're goofballs,
and it makes it fun and lighthearted. But then, like, I think I joked back to Mickey. I was like, you know, because you were like, support her head, and, like, you support her leg, and this and that. And I said, like, oh, I'm gonna support her emotionally, and it was, yeah, like, I was joking, but and everyone got the joke.
That, but it's valid.
But that's for real. Like, true. You know, that's like, we were making fun of it in a lighthearted way, but it's for real. You know, like, that's a big part of the gig. Like, you have to show up emotionally and mentally and be there. You know?
And can I also say, isn't it incredible what we can do with our bodies,
totally,
making art with our bodies?
Yeah.
I mean, I look at this is art. It's my art.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and these people doing these incredible things with their bodies is just pure art.
I agree.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever participated in a non-commercial gangbang, like in a gangbang without a camera there?
Yes.
Do you have tips for people who might want to choreograph or coordinate a gangbang at home?
Yeah. Oh boy.
I mean, it's different. I think it would be different to do that at home. And I've talked to a couple of people about that before. I would say from the male/top perspective, it's not as easy as you might think it is. Like I said, it took me a while to figure it out. And, you gotta let go of, you got to let go of your ego quite a bit, and because I think, you know, what's the thing we always like, but boners are timid animals, you know, like, and I think at least for like, a lot of people, when you're not having sex professionally on camera, it can't, and I've had this experience when I was younger before I did porn. It, you know, your boner can be tied to your ego,
and
you got to let that go if you're gonna share with four other guys or however many other guys. It's because, and that goes back to that sort of jokey, lighthearted vibe. You have to have that,
yeah,
in order to do that successfully and to make it fun for everybody, especially who's ever bottoming. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I would say if you are able to get five guys into a room with one lady, which is already a feat in itself, really.
Totally.
Because I've had a lot of women say, "How? What can I do to make this happen? Recreate this at home?" You know.
Good man is hard to find.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if men go into it, if they can, it's not about their boners. Let's please this woman, you know, and making it about her. I think that they can shed some of that ego a little bit, and be able to make it happen, you know. But and just like technically, you know, you got to learn these positions. Like if you're going for a DP, you know, it's not the easiest position to get into.
And you also gotta realize that if you're gonna do a DP or a DA or a DV, you know, you're gonna rub dicks with another guy, and you have to be okay with that.
Oh, I love it. It's my favorite thing to watch.
And a lot of guys and girls who watch and participate in gangbangs, that's part of the appeal.
It is. And you know, sometimes it's just like nobody talks about it.
It's sort of an
ladies
undertone.
Laugh about it, and you know, I love when those dicks are rubbing against each other, because one half of that dick is getting rubbed by my vagina, but that other half of the dick is getting rubbed by another dick, and that's how you're getting off. You know what I mean?
And I think,
you know, whether they, you know, they might not admit it, but I think that some of the guys that I hire, even though they don't say it out loud, really are into that too. Yeah. Like it's an exciting way to kind of get a little, I want to be a little queer.
Right. Totally. Yeah. That's okay, guys. Like, that doesn't mean you have to change whatever you label yourself as, or that cannot be a part of it at all to you. But whether or not you're into that, you're not into that, that if you want to participate in a gangbang, that's just part of the deal.
So what are you both excited about in the future of gangbang porn?
Yeah.
Because it's a new era.
You mean here at King.com?
I mean, for you guys, whatever it is.
Yeah.
What is your, the future of gangbangs in the world?
Yeah.
What are you excited about?
Well, I mean, I'm currently, you know, we shot the last porn film here last night in the San Francisco Armory. It was a gangbang. It's very exciting. But now I'm going to be moving our shooting all in Los Angeles. And I'm excited to...
And Vegas.
To have a new space to be able to... New spaces, multiple spaces to be able to just continue making these fantasies for these women. I really feel like I'm doing... putting out, it's good for the world. You know what I mean? I really feel like I'm empowering women.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's one of my most favorite things that I shoot. And I just want to continue to find these women and explain to them, you know, yes, it's okay to have these kinds of fantasies. And I would love to create this safe space for you to do it. And
it's really
embrace
public,
it.
It's a public feminist service.
Exactly. And I want to...
And getting women paid, which is very feminist.
Right. And
one of the things that we didn't really touch on, but I'll say just briefly, is that porn is literally the only industry that I'm aware of where the wage gap is actually reversed.
Totally.
I just find that fascinating.
Yeah.
And I think we can all... We can keep it that way.
Yeah. That's totally legit.
That's also the opposite, because like in the rest of the world we're like trying to change that, but like in porn it's like,
that's all right.
Let's pay the labor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like it's art, and it pushes me creatively to create these fantasies, like take their fantasies and then just blow them out of the water, and the women get on set and they're like, wow, yes. Oh my God, this is so amazing. And I'm excited to push that envelope, you know?
Cool.
Yeah. I think the other thing that I've noticed in the last month, and I think this is going to be amazing going forward, is I think the culture of hardcore gangbang, the crew, the performers, everything is sort of, it's sort of getting disseminated within the industry, because I can say for sure that in the last 4 or 6 weeks, I've been getting lots of emails from more, you know, vanilla, mm-hmm. mainstream porn girls, mm-hmm. women who are emailing me going, are you booking for gangbangs? Will you tell Maddo and I want to shoot a gangbang?
Yeah.
Please, please, please. Some of them are very well-known, famous, you know, mainstream porn stars. And I think the culture that we're cultivating, or that you
we're shooting it from a feminist point of view.
That you've started with Hardcore Gangbang is really, it's getting a reputation in the industry, and people are excited about it, and people want to participate in it. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah. And I just want to mention this one last thing. And I want to continue to try to push those antiquated beliefs about crossover performers. And I want to continue to push that, you know, by putting together different types of folks.
Yeah. And making this, that queer subtext that we were talking about,
yeah.
the dicks rubbing together, for example,
yeah.
more explicit.
Yeah.
That make people feel more comfortable being like, yeah, this is actually a part of this. We don't have to like have a blind spot about it.
You know, right. I want to continue to push that envelope, because I want people to start to talk about it. We need to talk about this within the industry, because it's not right.
Yeah.
You know?
And equally so, we didn't get into this, but I think it goes hand in glove with the crossover thing, is the interracial stuff, is that we don't, you know, I know you in particular won't hire models who refuse. There are a fair number of models in the industry who won't shoot IR interracial at all, meaning they won't shoot with a model who is of a different race than them. Specifically, they won't shoot with black male performers.
Like white women.
Right. There's that trope of, we need to protect the white women. It's this bullshit thing
and,
that we didn't really touch on.
Right. And also, if I go to a woman and say, hey, you want to be on gangbangs? And there's going to be these people. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. But I charge more for interracial.
Yeah, more
and then
for
I say,
IRs.
Guess what?
Yeah, not booking
you. Not booking you. And I've also had the experience where there's a famous porn star. I had already got my group of men. There was, there was crossover, you.
Yeah, there was me.
Yeah, and then there another
was,
performer. Black man,
performer.
Yeah, and the agent was like, well, no, you got to pick two other guys. And instead of picking two other guys, I said, actually,
her.
I'm going to cancel her. And the agent was like,
he was
you're
flabbergasted.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I said, no, I absolutely am.
Well, you're literally putting your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what needs to happen, because then people can't hide their bigotry behind like that it's like about business, but it's not about business, it's about your own bigotry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're using that to make money. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah. And then it just perpetuates itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gross.
But fortunately, there happened to be another local tested model who is cool as fuck, and she was down, and we made the shoot work.
Yeah.
With her.
Yeah. And it was great.
Gotta go.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
Yeah, I could sit and talk to you all day, Tina.
Well, tell you what, let's just keep talking forever.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for coming over to my dorm room.
Your porno dorm room.
My porn dorm. I've had an amazing week.
Thank you. I've had an amazing week with both of you, and I can't wait to see what the future holds, and I can't wait to see you both again.
Yeah.
And I'll be seeing you when I'm jerking off in the middle of the afternoon.
Yay! I love that.
Oh God. Okay, we gotta stop.
thank you for having us, Tina.
Thank you both.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here.
Yeah. 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 Tina, you're just incredible.
Okay. All right.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.